Okay, tonight we are to part number 7 of Biblical Prophecy. Amen? And it looks like there's going to be a part 8 as well. So Biblical Prophecy part 7. And the next major event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture. Amen? The Bible describes this catching away of the saints at the end of the church age. Will you please get your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. We've got a fairly long scripture tonight through the end of chapter 4 and then into chapter 5 through to verse number 11. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5 and verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that when we look in your word, we can study it and find out the truths that you've given to us, Lord. And we thank you that for the most part, it's plain and simple, Lord, if we look and study. Pray, help us now as we look in your word tonight, that we would understand what it is you have to say to us, Lord. And pray you bless each one that's here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The rapture is coming, and there is nothing that anyone can do that will stop it. As each day passes, it brings us closer to the rapture. Amen. As we have just read, the rapture is an event in which the dead in Christ will be raised, and the living New Testament saints will be changed. And that is us, my friends. The Lord himself will come for the church age saints. And the rapture is our hope and comfort. This is what we are waiting for. And it is Christ to whom we are looking. And this is our blessed hope. You don't have to look there, but in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. The rapture occurs before the day of the Lord's wrath. This is why we here at Coastline adhere to the doctrine of pre-tribulation rapture. Why? Because it plainly tells us so in God's word. Amen? So let's take a look at what God says about it. So immediately after describing the rapture, Paul mentions the day of the Lord and says the New Testament believer will not be overtaken by it. The day of the Lord is a time of tribulation when God will judge the world for its sin. Paul's, Paul says that we are not appointed to wrath. Are you still in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Go to verse chapter 2. We'll read again, Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 through to 10. Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. If you look in verse 3, they is used because the day of the Lord will come upon the unsaved. But in verses 4 and 5, ye is used, referring to the believers. So that day will not overtake us. Believers are not appointed to go through the time of God's wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 also tells us, you don't have to turn there for time's sake, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10 says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Church-age saints have been subject to the wrath of men throughout the age, but we are not appointed to go through the wrath of God, which will be poured out upon this wicked world. If you'd like to please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Again, here we see some important truths about the rapture in this particular passage. The rapture is a mystery that was not revealed in the Old Testament prophecies. The Old Testament prophets taught about the bodily resurrection, but they did not prophesy that some would be glorified without dying. They prophesied about the resurrection of Jewish saints at the end of the tribulation, but they did not see the rapture of the New Testament believers before the tribulation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52, the dead in Christ will be raised to incorruption, and the believers who are living at that time will be changed from mortal to immortal. What an amazing thought. I was talking with Brother Lachlan just last week about that very thing. What it'll be like to meet God in the clouds if the Lord returns whilst we're still alive. And it's very hard. I presume you've all thought about this thing, but it's a very hard thing to fathom when we've been subject to gravity for our entire lives. Meeting Jesus in the air with all the Christians who have ever lived and those that are alive when the rapture happens, the amazing thing. Amen? When we look around here at Coastline, there's not a lot of people, is there? But in that day, there will probably be billions of people. Amen? It says here in 1 Corinthians that our bodies will become immortal and we will put on incorruption in the twinkling of an eye. That's basically instantaneous. Incorruption means our new body will be incapable of such things as pain and sickness. What a great time that'll be, amen? Faith in the rapture keeps us steadfast and unmovable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." We have great enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world mocks our faith. The devil shoots fiery darts of lies and unbelief to turn us away from the truth. And our flesh wants to lead us away from God's holy laws. Keeping our minds focused on Jesus Christ and His coming is the victory. Faith in the rapture keeps the believer abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." We serve the Lord because we are beloved brethren. We are washed in Christ's blood and adopted into God's family. We love God because He first loved us. Amen. And the more we understand the great blessings we have in Christ, the more we should want to serve Christ. Also, knowing that we have eternal security should not make us careless and disobedient. It should have the opposite effect. The work of the Lord in this present age is great, and the workers are few. The gospel is to be preached to the ends of the earth. Every believer is to be discipled in all of Christ's teaching. We are to shine as lights in a dark world, and the churches are to be built as a pillar and ground of the truth. Every believer is an ambassador for Christ, a minister of gifts, a teacher, and a priest. Every believer is to find his place in this work and abound in service to the Lord. The words minister and ministering to appear 49 times in the New Testament epistles. The work is not in vain in the Lord. Often it seems to be vain because sometimes it is difficult and there doesn't seem to be any evident fruit. But if labour is in the Lord, then it is never in vain. Amen? The rapture is a very important doctrine. It helps to motivate the Lord's people to stay awake spiritually, and it helps to motivate the churches to stay busy in the work of preaching the gospel to lost souls before it is too late. What about the last trump? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, it says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." The trumpet that will sound at the rapture of the church age saints is not the same as the trumpets that will sound in Revelation as judgments on this world, or the trumpets that sound in reference to Israel. The church is not part of these other programs. Her trump is a different one. The church's last trump is when she shall be gathered together to the Lord. Church age believers are promised salvation from God's wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." The great tribulation is expressly called the day of God's wrath. Today the Lord is withholding the full severity of His anger. He is offering men salvation through the preaching of the gospel. But the day is approaching when he will take the seat of judgment. Then the day of his wrath will be upon all the world. Revelation chapter 6 verse 16 says, "And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" It is true that in the church age, Bible-believing churches have been subject to persecution, but this is totally different from the Great Tribulation. The persecution of saints is caused by the wrath of wicked men and the wrath of the devil, whereas the tribulation especially relates to God's wrath. Some believe the church will not be saved out of the time of wrath, but will be saved through it. But this cannot be true, since the Bible clearly says that those who are on earth during the Great Tribulation will not be delivered from wrath, but will be overcome. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, which says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Concerning the Great Tribulation, we are told that as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Luke chapter 21 and verse 35. Luke chapter 21 verse 34, "And take heed to yourself, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Amen. Church age believers must either be physically removed from the earth, or they will be involved in the day of wrath. But God promises removal. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also shall keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth." In this present dispensation, the Holy Spirit came into the world at Pentecost, when he came to empower the church for the Great Commission. He will remove the church age believers before the time of God's great wrath. This does not mean the Holy Spirit will not be present in the world then. The Holy Spirit, as God, is omnipresent. It means that he will not be present in the same sense that he is in this age. Please turn with me to John chapter 14 and verse 1. John chapter 14 and verse 1. John chapter 14 verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Church age believers are promised mansions in heaven. Amen? When the Lord Jesus returns to the earth at the end of the tribulation, he sets up his messianic kingdom. If the rapture occurred at the end of the tribulation, like some false teachers claim, the promise to the church age believers in Revelation to heavenly mansions would not be fulfilled. Church age believers are a heavenly people with a heavenly hope. The rapture of the church age saints is imminent. I was just saying to Brother Huey today, it's his birthday, and he said, he was explaining what a wonderful day he'd had, and I said, well, it could only be better if the rapture happened now. Amen? The imminency of the rapture means it can happen any time. whereas the second coming is said to be preceded by specific signs. Christ taught that the rapture is imminent. Paul taught the rapture is imminent. James taught the rapture is imminent. And Peter taught the rapture is imminent. The early Christians were living in expectation of Christ's return. The Apostle Paul instructed the brethren at Thessalonica that they did not need to heed the signs and times because the New Testament believer has been promised redemption from the day of darkness that shall overcome the whole world. The New Testament believer is not waiting for the Antichrist, but for Christ himself. The church is a mystery that was not revealed in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." This is a fundamental issue in relation to the timing of the rapture. The rapture relates to the church, and the church is not Israel. The New Testament church has no part in the chronology of events foretold by the Old Testament prophets. They clearly foretold the first coming of Christ, his miraculous birth, his life, his death, resurrection and ascension. They also described Christ's second coming in glory, preceded by a time of unprecedented worldwide tribulation, followed by the establishment of the glorious messianic kingdom centered in Jerusalem. But these prophets did not see the church age. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 5 says, "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Between Christ's first and second coming, there is a time gap that is not described in Old Testament prophecy. This gap is the church age. The prophets did not see that Israel would be set aside temporarily while God called out from among all nations a special body of people. This is us, my friends, the church. The church has a different purpose and program than the nation of Israel. It is Israel that is in view in Old Testament prophecy. The ministry of the two witnesses we see in Revelation chapter 11 identifies them with the nation of Israel and with Old Testament prophecy about the day of the Lord. The two witnesses minister from Jerusalem, Israel's capital. The church has no such capital, her hope being heavenly, not earthly. The two witnesses are clothed in sackcloth, which speaks of Israel, the sackcloth signifying repentance from sin or sorrow because of some calamity. Nowhere in God's word do we see the church in sackcloth. The church is told rather to rejoice in the Lord always. Amen? The church age believers' judgment is forever past. We are to keep our minds centered in the heavenlies above, where positionally we are already seated, eternally victorious with Christ. Also, the two witnesses call down judgment upon their enemies in Revelation. Jesus rebuked his disciples for desiring to do just this and instructed the church age believer to pray for the well-being of his enemies, not for their destruction. In conclusion, the doctrine of pre-tribulation rapture is under severe attack today. There are false teachers today saying that Christians should build the kingdom of God on earth today instead of waiting until Christ returns. They claim that those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture are abandoning their alleged duty to save the earth from global warming and solve the problems of hunger, disease and war. They say the doctrine of an imminent rapture is dangerous because it interferes with their kingdom building and environmental activities. They say that we need to challenge the government and do the work of the kingdom of God and to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. They say that the whole sense of the rapture, which may occur at any moment, is used as a device to oppose engagement with the principalities, the powers, the political and economic structures of our age. They can't have read their Bible, hey brother? The importance of the rapture and the doctrine of the pre-tribunal rapture is not a minor one. As we saw, Jesus, Paul, James and Peter taught that the return of Christ is imminent and it is to be expected at any time. The doctrine of pre-tribunal rapture is a great motivator for good Christian living and service. It encourages us in trials and persecutions. It keeps the church's focus on the Lord's great commission. It teaches us that preaching the gospel, winning people to Christ, and establishing churches as the pillar and ground of the truth is of the most urgent matter. It motivates God's people to be busy in the Lord's work. It motivates God's people to live watchful, sober, separated lives. It is also a warning to unbelievers to be saved before the day of salvation ends. Are you living in anticipation of that day? Are you ready for that day?